Welcome to A Church in the City, a podcast sharing messages, sermons, and talks from Downtown Christian Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We exist to empower a movement of passionate Jesus followers. On this episode, we're sharing a message titled Moving Forward from Jamie Grinless, originally recorded July 18th, 2021. Let's listen in.
Morning. How is everyone today? You good? What a great morning. You know, I love when the Lord kind of sets us up and kind of unifies us, even when it's things that might be uncomfortable for some of us, or maybe a little personal, or maybe he's kind of touching on something maybe that he talked to you about personally. And so it feels a little, sometimes it kind of feels a little exposed. You know, when you kind of start to hear things that are in agreement with stuff that's going on inside of you. I have been super, and I kind of alluded to this yesterday, if you saw the video that went out on social media, I've been super challenged these last 4 weeks. The 2 weeks that Kevin spoke on self-sufficiency and the 2 weeks that Chris spoke on transformation, and it's really ridiculous, but I've spent 4 weeks trying to self-sufficiently not be self-sufficient. Just being honest. And trying to transform myself into transformation. Those are the things that I've been working like heavily on. And I have been doing a terrible job, as you can imagine. And it's so ridiculous to me, because obviously you are all here. You heard Kevin share, you heard Chris share, that like that was the principle. But yeah, I still took the thing and tried to put it into action and tried to walk it out myself and try to walk through all of these things. And it kind of just embarrass myself, as I like to do when I come up here. I don't like to do it. I feel like the Lord likes to do it, but whatever. It kind of came to like ahead last week Sunday. And I was really frustrated even just kind of preparing for this morning, because, you know, about a month ago, God gave me this really cool revelation on occupancy. We years ago did a sermon series on, you know, occupying the land and all this sort of stuff. And so I was super excited about it. And then when I kept trying to study it, I kept forgetting what it was and I couldn't figure it out. And I'm like, God, what's going on? Like, this is such a great revelation, but I don't remember it. So maybe it wasn't that great. And God reminded me of this line by Eugene Peterson. It was in one of his devotionals this week, and it says, the intent of a revelation is never to inform us about God, but to involve us in God. And that's when I realized that he was saying, Jamie, this, you know, yeah, we might have had a nice thought together, but that's not where you're at right now, and I want you to share from your experience, from where you're at. So last Sunday, Chris shared a phenomenal message on transformation. You guys were here, you heard it, it was amazing. If you didn't, you can watch it online. It was incredible, it was so challenging. It was so challenging because 3 weeks up to that, I was trying to sort out all of these promises in my life and trying to figure out how to, you know, make the right steps of where I've fallen short to make up the difference to get to the thing I was trying to get to. And then Chris just kind of said like, that's not how this is going. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the Lord working through you. And it's his life that we're living out. And it was so beautiful. And I went home and I just went into like this, pity party. Funk, thank you. He was with me. So he'll be more honest probably than I will. And I literally just sat wallowing all of Sunday afternoon. Just thinking of all of these things that the Lord and I have dreamed about, even just over the last year, and all of the reasons why throughout the course of my life since childhood, I screwed up these grand things that were going to be part of my destiny. All of the things that I started and didn't finish, all of the shortcomings I had, all of the ways that I was supposed to go right and I went left, all of them. Like I literally processed every part of it and came up with the fact that I'm a pure and utter failure. And it's probably just too late for me. So what I should do is, you know, pull up my bootstraps and just find some people that I can, you know, pour into because, you know, I'm hosed. I'm just being honest. Like, this was my afternoon. It's ridiculous. I mean, I share it with you, and I'm just like, this is the dumbest thing ever. And of course, all of this happened up here by myself in my head, you know, without the Holy Spirit, because this is not the words of the Father. This is not his love. This is not his heart. It's not who he is. Does not line up with anything in Scripture. And separate from my community because of, you know, just feeling like, I didn't do it right. And so, you know, what's the point? So finally I don't even want to say I was brave enough because I don't think I did it out of a point of courage. I think I did it to find somebody else to gripe with me. You know, I finally sat down and talked to Kev about it and just kind of said, this is where I'm at. This is what I feel like. Man, you know, everything I've ever done, like I wasn't enough. I didn't do it right. I didn't hit the right things. I stopped short. I had this list of all of this stuff. And I just said to him, I said, but who cares? Like, nothing's missing in my life. Like, yeah, I have dreams. I have aspirations. All these things that I feel like are impossible, but I know God would do them had I not, was pretty much my whole conversation. You know, God would do these impossible things with me. God would dream these amazing things with me. God has this stuff on his heart. Had I not done this, and had I finished that, and had I, you know, whatever, fill in the blank for yourself, whatever it may be. Maybe it's if I wasn't struggling with this, you know, kind of even just thinking of the things that were shared this morning, right? Maybe you've got some, and honestly, I'll call this all sin, right? Because any place that we're not in faith, Scripture says is in sin. So this whole practice that I spent my day in, it's straight up sin. It wasn't from the Father. I had to repent from it. And maybe the things that, you know, you're walking out, you're like, man, if only I didn't battle this, if only I didn't struggle with that, if only I hadn't opened the door for this, and now this is in my life, then perhaps these places of impossible, these things, this stuff could come to fruition in my life. But because of what I've done or experienced or what has been done to me, you know, whatever our language is, then this is as good as it gets. And I've been praying a lot, just to kind of go to the side a little bit, and we'll circle back around. I've been praying a lot for our state the last probably year. Have had a real passion just for some of the things that are happening in our culture as a state, in our nation, but really specifically here in our home, you know, our home city, our home state, and, you know, just the struggle with employment, the struggle with, you know, health, finances, all these things that are going on in the state of Michigan. And I just keep saying to Kevin, I'm like, you know, I don't care how we got here as a state. You know, we walked out a pandemic, nobody's ever experienced it before, whatever it is, I don't care how we got here. I wanna see leadership come into this state that wants to take Michigan forward. I don't care how we got here. I don't care how people feel comfortable being out in public. I don't care about any of it. Like, we've all walked this out. I really even have no frustration with our current administration for the decisions they made. I believe, honestly, with all my heart, people are literally just trying to do the best they can. I don't care how we got here. I care, what are we gonna do to move forward? What are we gonna do to come together as a state? How are we gonna resurrect things and move on, you know? And so we just keep talking about this, and I just keep praying about it. Lord, like, raise up leadership, this and that. And God's just like, Jamie, you can pray to move Michigan forward all you want, but until you move your life forward, then these things are not gonna happen around you. And I'm like, whoa, like, wow, what do you mean? And the Lord just kind of started taking me through some things, and we can just kind of talk through it this morning. And I want to read a few passages that he's brought my heart to and just kind of encourage us. And again, I believe this is in the same theme that's just kind of been shared by the Lord all morning, of us just getting down to brass tacks and dealing with the stuff that we have been making excuses for in our life. And just say, let's just agree to go into this today and say, I don't care how we got here. It's time to move forward. It's time to come together as the body of Christ and move forward. And I'm going to own my part, and I just ask that everybody join with me. I want to start in Isaiah 49. This is the first place that the Lord brought me after an amazing, encouraging conversation with my husband. And I'll let you guys know, and I'll say this, and I really want to get into it next week and talk deeper about it, but the Father works through community. Every time, always, he works in community. That's what he does. He works through his people. He chose to do it that way. I didn't. I don't get it. I don't know why, because we screw things up. We mess things up, but this is the way he chooses to operate, is through the people around you. And so the longer that we suffer alone and live life alone, it separates us a little bit and causes kind of a breakage in the way that he likes to move freely. And so I was blessed. I was blessed by my husband, who was willing to say tough things to me, who was willing to encourage me, but also say like, honey, get up out of your garbage. You know, this is not who you are. So again, Isaiah 49. And a lot of these scriptures I'm going to read from the Message, I'm not saying it's the most accurate translation. I'm not going to take a stance on any of that. The reason why I do this is because it's easier for me to read it. It's words that I understand. he says, listen, far-flung islands. Pay attention, faraway people. God put me to work from the day I was born. The moment that I entered the world, he named me. He gave me a speech that would cut and penetrate. He kept his hand on me to protect me. He made me his straight arrow and hid me in his quiver. He said to me, you're my dear servant, Israel, through who I'll shine. And it goes on, and the Lord is speaking to them, basically saying, I don't care about your shortcomings. I don't even care about your accomplishments, because it's through you I will shine. Not through you, you will shine. It's through you, I will shine. And he goes on, and he says later, he said, I'm setting you up as a light for the nations, so that my salvation becomes global. And again, I continue to just feel like my interaction with the Lord somehow ruins his goodness and somehow ruins or has shortcomings. And I was saying to Kevin yesterday, I have this picture that like at the beginning of my life, you know, it talks about that, you know, he called me when he first named me in the womb. So here's the beginning of my life. And like, here's this line of all the promises that he put in my life and all the destiny he had for me and all the things that he had lined up for me. And then like throughout my life, you know, I kind of like screwed up a little. So I'm only going to get like 60% of those promises or walk in 60% of those promises. But then I did some good things. So now maybe I'm at 70. And like, I kind of feel like this is how the line of the things that the Lord has for me. And right now I'm kind of sitting in maybe a place like this. So I was trying to spend that day to like make up this gap of stuff. And the Lord's like, he's kind of looking at me like, Jamie, do you not think that I didn't know that day when I spoke those things on your life, every single thing you were going to do or not do? You know, there was a prophetic song, I want to say it was as far back as maybe 2003, that Missy Edwards did at IHOP. And it has touched my life time and time and time again. And she's singing out from the heart of the Father. And he says, I knew what I was getting into when I called you. I knew what I was getting into when I said your name. And I said it just the same. And I'm like, you know, I know these things, but I don't live this way. Why? And I believe it's because of the fact that I continue to try to reconcile the mysteries of God down to my own human understanding. Come on. And when we do that, we reduce God to our level, which essentially just means I'm worshiping myself. I mean, that's the wicked one's plan right there, is personal godship. Self-godship, anything, because think about it. This is the nature of his being, right? Is he was trying to elevate himself above the Father, or at least to equal with. And obviously, what a great ploy, what a desire that he tries to taunt us all with is to say, here, bring it down to your understanding, to your knowledge of good and evil, your understanding of perfection, your understanding of goodness, your understanding of all of these things. That way you can be face to face with God, and then we can just worship ourselves. It's ridiculous to think that we can understand the intricacies of the Father. And yet, a lot of times, I'm trying to understand these mysteries, but I'm not spending time getting to know his heart. So I want the answer, I want the solution, I want the resolution, I want, you know, the thing fixed, the miracle done, the whatever it may be, but I don't even know who it is that I'm talking to in this situation. Because I haven't asked him his heart, his perspective, his thoughts, his ways, his plans. And you know what? When I did this week, when I sat down and had that conversation, every single part of it, his heart were his kids. His perspective, his kids, his passion, his kids, everything about it. It was all about people. He very little, if at all, talked to me about the health things that I've been believing for 20 years. And that might bother you. It doesn't bother me anymore. Because I don't want to spend my time and my relationship with him griping about things that I'm uncomfortable with. I don't want to do it anymore. It's short of the goodness of what I've been invited into. George MacDonald talks a lot in his writings about the fact that we have understood salvation to be freedom from the punishment of sin, and it's selling it so short because it's an invitation to a life apart from sin. So it's before the punishment, any of that even comes into existence. This is about life. This is about freedom. And again, our minds interpret this through some sort of lifestyle of perfection. No, it's a lifestyle of freedom and liberty and wholeness and life and light and love. That's what scripture talks about when it's talking about the whole earth being full of his glory. It's the whole earth being surrounded with his goodness. It's the whole earth coming to the knowledge and understanding that they're a part of a family. That's what brought me into the kingdom, was family. I have a great family. I never felt separated from family. But there was a family that was higher than the family that I was a part of, that met every need, that took every shame, that brought me into a place that I never thought I could be. And I started walking in this life, and I started living this life, and kind of in my dialogue with the Lord, I've been kind of thinking of it as like this city of hope. Like, I was brought into this city of hope, and somebody started showing me, you know, the provision of the Father and the health of the Father and the heart of the Father and all of these types of things. And then through the course of that, the Lord started kind of nudging me to sort of go out into the frontier, because he's got more kids he wants back. And I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I go out there, if I'm gonna get out there and then run out of money. So maybe I should just stay here, because I know where things are here. I know where everything's at. It's fine here, you know? Or maybe I feel a little weak, so maybe it'll take me twice as long to go to the land that you're calling me to. So maybe I should just stay here and try to get a little stronger. Stay here and wait for you to do this, or wait for you to do that. And I just feel like I'm missing his heart over and over and over again. And God, guys, God's just like, Jamie, stand up, move forward in life. I was listening to someone teaching this week, and he said, you know, Isaiah, he said that scripture in Isaiah, you know, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He said, that has been my life's cry. He said, but this week, God told me to go to where it is in the Gospels, and it says Jesus stood up and declared it and brought it into, you know, into fruition in that moment. He stood up, and he said, there's such significance in that. For us to stand up and say, the glory of the Lord is not in this place. It is in this place. But the glory of the Lord is the sons and daughters of God carrying the Spirit of the ever-living Father to every end of the earth. It says that his glory will fill the earth. How does that happen? It does not happen through me waiting here for God to do something to fix my inconvenience. This happens from me saying, look, God, I'm full of shortcomings. There's things that I'm believing for. I don't understand why these things happened. I know that I probably wasn't faithful in these areas and obedient in these areas. So Father, I repent, but I'm gonna move forward into the things that you've called me to do. Call me a fisherman, I don't care. I'll change the world. Call me one of 12, I don't care. I'll change the world. I know Justin wants me to take my earrings off, so I'll just stop moving my head. You know, my mom shared with me that dream that she had, and it really impacted my life. Because I don't think we understand how our, as Barb shared, some of our complacency is affecting the people around us. Myself, I'll just talk to me. I really have focused so much on the things that I want for myself, for myself's being. And some of them are noble. Like, you know, I believe that God wants us to walk in perfect health. I believe that. I'm not living that out right now. But the problem is that I've become so fixated on trying to fix that or solve that or complain about that, that it's turned into complacency with the mandate that I was given on my life. And it's turned into an acceptable complacency in the church. And there are sons and daughters turning away from the body of Christ because the body of Christ is not acting like the body of Christ. Because we're not representing his heart. We're not walking in the things we're supposed to be. We're not impacting in the method, in the magnitude that we're supposed to be. And I'm saying, again, starting with myself, and it's because I'm so self-centered and focused on what I don't have, what I'm still waiting for God to fix, what I'm still asking him to heal, the violations that happened in my life from this point or that age or whatever the thing may be. And I'm not trying to discredit that stuff. Some things we go through are very challenging. It's just truth. And the Father wants to be your heart and your he wants to be the one who's there when you're lonely. He wants to be the one that's there when you're afraid. I mean, these are some of the things that I said to the Lord. I said, God, you know, I know for a fact that there are folks there who are saying, I want to do the things that God's asking me to do, but I'm scared. I'm lonely. I'm weak. You know, whatever your thing may be. I'm wrestling with, you know, this sin or that sin or, you know, whatever it is. And so God, I can't step into those things yet. I can't move into those things yet. I can't do this. I can't do that. I have to wait for this. I have to wait for that. And I believe that the Father is saying, just come. Let's go. Let's move forward together. Take my hand. And as we walk, we're gonna move into some of those things. And you're gonna release the captives and proclaim freedom along the way. Amen. And the people in your life that are in your direct sphere of influence, the people in my direct sphere of influence are being impacted because their name is on that scroll. And I am absolutely refusing to put down these ridiculous things that I'm holding on to in my life to serve them, to care for them. I stopped dying to myself. That's just the truth of it. I did. I stopped dying to myself. I started living for myself and for my desires and my passions and my dreams. And here's the thing, y'all. God cares about your desires, your passions, and your dreams. But scripture says that he holds them in a place that moths and dust, rust can't destroy. He holds them. I don't have to. I didn't ruin them because he holds them. He's the one concerning himself with them. I don't have to. I don't have to. But because of the fact that I'm trying to make them happen, I'm trying to be self-sufficient, I'm trying to be a good little girl who can take care of things and doesn't need anyone, I'm absolutely stopping the blood flow, the lifeline of the body of Christ because I'm becoming like a kink in the chain. Because I got it. I'm fine. I'll make it. I'll get there. I'll figure it out. I mean, you can ask my kids how many times I say, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. He's how we figure it out. That's right. That's right. Getting to know his heart, his passion, his love, his joy, his provision. Anything that we can go before him and say, God, I feel deficient in this. I feel lacking in this. I feel frustrated about this. I feel depressed. I feel lonely. I feel any of it. He has already put a declaration on your life about that. So you're speaking things to him and he's just going, I don't understand. Why are we, you know, we've already talked about this. Come into me where it exists. Stop standing over there and come into me and let's go together. Stop living in your humanity trying to be supernatural when I've made you supernatural to walk with me, to talk with me, to hear my heart. Which is about the people around you. It's about your kids, your spouse, your boss, your employees. It's about your whatever, your boy that cuts your lawn. I don't care. We're husband and wives who stand around saying, I want this out of my marriage, instead of putting into your marriage what you desire. Instead of serving one another, instead of loving one another, instead of encouraging each other, we stand here and go, he never encourages me. He never helps me. He never says anything kind to me. And we do this everywhere. I mean, that's just the easy spots, right? That's the easy spots. I mean, I never do, babe, you know. But I'm just saying other people, you got it, you know. But that's just, I mean, those are just the obvious places, right? I go to the grocery store and I don't want to connect with the people God's telling me to connect with. I don't even want to say encouraging things because it'll slow me down and I got this going on and I want to finish that. I just want to get home and be by myself. We keep saying, why don't we see the things that the New Testament church does, but yet we sit locked up in our little houses all night long by ourselves watching TV. Maybe that's why we don't see it. We're not out with anybody. We're trying to live in our own little bubble, and then we're upset that God's not bringing us into this place of glory because I showed up on Sunday. What? Why didn't that happen for me? It's funny, but it's truth. This is where I live. I just want Saturday to be by myself, and I just want to do my own thing and, you know, lick my wounds from the week or whatever it is. And yet, then I'm like so frustrated. Because I'm not seeing the Holy Spirit move and heal people and raise people from the dead. And I mean, my heart passion, I wanna put Molly Glass out of business, man. She's a hospice nurse. I wanna put her right out of business. I wanna do that. She should not have to pronounce 31-year-old men dead. That should not be a thing with the body of a Christ alive and active in the world today. Shouldn't be a thing. Divorce, shouldn't be a thing. Shouldn't be. And I don't say this out of shame, guys. I don't say this out of judgment. I say this because that's the heart of the Father. For us to live together in community, in unity, serving one another. God is telling me, Jamie, move yourself forward. Get up. Stand up. What's the rest of that? Get up, stand up. That's probably not what we want to sing right now. Well, we are. I do want to close like reading some of these scriptures. Sorry, Bob Marley's not making it today. I hope this has been a challenge for your heart. I hope that the Lord is stirring you because he's stirring. This is just what he's doing in me. And again, this, if you're feeling any sort of condemnation, judgment, shame, any of it, please come and talk to me. That is not my heart. That is not my passion. That is not the heart of the Father. All I'm trying to say is that we have something magnificent. We have something amazing. We have something incredible. We have something deep, powerful, living, breathing, moving inside of us. And he is so emphatic about working through his body to reach and save those who are alone and scared and by themselves. And we have this beautiful city of hope we get to invite them into. But I can't invite people in if I just stay inside. Because then I'm only touching who else is inside. It's our job to get out into that land, to that frontier, to those places, and let people know, hey, I don't know if you knew this, but you're a child of God. You're a son, you're a daughter of the King, and he has a plan and he has a purpose for you. He has heart and passion and vision for your life. He wants to set crooked ways straight. He wants to heal your heart, heal you from disease. He wants to reunite your family. These are the things that are on his heart. In Romans 5, it says, by entering through faith, which means trusting. You want to live by faith, trust the Father. Amen. That's his heart. Trust him, 100%. Even when you don't understand, especially when you don't understand. Because the great mystery will always be before you. You will never know the extent of his heart or the extent of his ways, but he will show you the extent of his heart. He will never push you away from that. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our master, Jesus. And don't ever forget that he's your master. He's your lover, he's your friend, he's every part of you, but he's also your master. And when he is speaking to things in our life and telling us in places to be obedient, it is for a purpose. It is for a reason. He knows more than you. Like it or lump it. And that's not all. It says we throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to you. We find ourselves standing where we had always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and God's glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we are hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything that God generously will pour into your life through the Holy Spirit. Friends, it's time for us to leave all of this baggage, all of these things, all of these chains that we continue to try to run around in our life because somehow they make us feel better. They help us to identify with something. Your identity is a son or daughter of Christ. So if you're struggling with identity today, I don't care to what aspect, to what avenue. I don't care if it's gender, sexual. I don't care if it's your job, your calling, whatever it is. Your identity is that you are a son or you are a daughter of the living King. The High King of Heaven, that is your identity. That is your calling. That is your place. That is where everything derives itself from. Right. And it is time for the princes and princesses of the kingdom of God to get out on the streets and act like the royalty that they are. Amen. Knowing that we have all of the things to offer to this world around us because we have our Master Jesus inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit. And that is all that the world is craving for. It says in scripture that all of creation is longing for the sons and daughters to be revealed. It's longing. That's what the earth is groaning for. It's crying out for. That's what people in your life are crying out for you to do, is to reveal the Father. That's what they want. Whether they know it or not, that's what they want. Amen. It's innate inside every person. And we continue to wait for this world to turn right so that way we can engage with it. And it's our job. It's our job to set this culture right. It's our job. It's our job to walk like the royalty that we are. Amen. And to invite other people into it. I'll pray for us and then if you want to come up. Father, I thank you so much for this day. And I just ask personally, Lord, I continue to lay down all of these things that I make excuses for as to why they come between us. And Father, I say no more. No more of my selfish ambitions. No more of my selfish desires. I know you have a plan and a purpose and promises for my life. And I will move forward with your hand in my hand in your hand, believing that you are holding those promises and that I get to just walk forward in the things that you've called me to. I thank you for every man, every woman, every child that you have called this body, this family of DCC to reach, to touch, to engage with. I thank you for every single one of those lives that are already stirred, that are already prepared to hear the good news of your goodness, of your love, of your faithfulness, of your truth, of your holiness that will be proclaimed by every one of our lips. That we will use our words to partner with your words and not our words to complain about the way things are in this world. We will use our words to lift up our spouse, to inspire our children, to encourage people that we encounter. We will use our mouth for the things you would use your mouth for, Father, and that we will impact this globe forever. Darkness has not taken over this place. The scripture says the whole earth will be full of your glory, not full of darkness, not full of dismay, but full of your glory. And that's what we're here to bring and to carry and to take and to spread. Forgive me, God, for all these places that I have exalted myself higher than you, that I have made myself a God. I repent. And I just thank you, Lord, that you have called each and every one of us for such a time as this. I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for what's on your heart. Before we go into a time of response, Ryan and Hannah are in the back. So if you need prayer this morning, please feel free to go back and connect with them. If they're busy, just grab anyone else, everyone in here. Just go and love and allow the Lord to speak to you this morning.
If you would like to learn more about DCC, get involved with one of our ministries, or give to support us, you can find us at achurchinthecity.org. You can also follow us on Instagram at Downtown Christian Church for Sunday morning set lists, sermon series announcements, and more. You can also join us live on YouTube every Sunday morning for worship and teaching just by searching for Downtown Christian Church. We go live at 10 a.m. Eastern every Sunday. Thanks for listening.